Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for all that it teaches us about you, about your love for us, and about the way we should serve you. We pray that you'll use it to speak to our hearts this evening, to equip us for your service. Amen. Nice to be back with you again. And thank you for your welcome. Now, many of you will know the Scout motto, be prepared. I wonder how many of you would be good scouts. Are you always prepared for any eventuality, whatever may come your way? When you go out, do you check the weather and make sure you've got a coat and an umbrella and a second umbrella? Maybe several layers of sun cream as well, just in case. When you go on holiday, do you overpack? Extra sweater or just something just in case. I know that I tend to be a bit like that. I'll always stick another something in just in case. Particularly if I go out for a day's walking, I always have a sweater in my bag that I never ever wear. And some of you will be the opposite. You'll travel light. You'll cope with whatever comes your way with what you have in your bag. And if you're in the second category, then you'll be more comfortable with what the disciples were told to do at the beginning of this chapter than I would be. Because we read of Jesus sending his disciples out into Galilee and telling them to take nothing for your journey. No staff, no bag, no bread, no money, no extra tunic. Just go. But he does equip them, doesn't he? He gives them power and authority to drive out all demons and to cure diseases. They may not have a bag on their shoulder, but they have the power of the Holy Spirit equipping them for their mission, for their ministry to the villages. So it's quite clear that this is about mission, not about journey. And I want to look at this passage as it covers mission and ministry and see how that might help us in our ministry. So I want to look at it under three headings. Verses 1 to 4 are a ministry of service. Verses 5 to 9 look at a ministry of challenge. And verses 10 to 17 look at a ministry of compassion. A ministry of service, a ministry of challenge, and a ministry of compassion. So verses 1 to 4, a ministry of service. Jesus called the 12 together. He gave them power and authority to drive out all demons and to cure diseases, and he sent them out to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. They're sent out to continue and to extend Jesus' ministry of teaching and healing. Everything he's been doing in chapter 7 and 8, before we get to chapter 9, he's been teaching, he's been healing, he's been bringing the good news of the kingdom to the people around him. And now he broadens this. He sends out the 12. He sends them out to widen the ministry, to go to more villages, to more places than he could go to. Go out and preach the kingdom of God and heal the sick. And he equips them to do that. But they're to travel light, very light. It's about the mission. Interestingly, in Luke chapter 22, when he tells them to be prepared for mission after his death, they're to go out fully equipped, taking a staff, taking money, taking a second coat. That's long-term, follow-on mission. This is short, sharp, mission of service, to go out and to proclaim the gospel, to heal the sick, to minister to people's spiritual and physical needs, just as Jesus was doing. A ministry of service. A ministry that should be our ministry. What we should be doing where we are. Serving our community. Meeting their spiritual needs. And where we're equipped to do so, meeting physical and mental needs as well. Our ministry of service is to be light in our community, clearing away the darkness, bringing Jesus his love, his message of redemption, the glorious hope of the resurrection to those around us, meeting people's spiritual needs where we are. And when we find that tough, when we find that difficult, well, we've got a bit of encouragement in this passage as well, haven't we? Because not everyone responded. When Jesus called Peter, Andrew, James and John, in chapter 5 of Luke's Gospel, he said, "You will be fishing for men." I'm not a fisherman, but I know that fishermen don't always catch fish. Sometimes they come back empty-handed. And when the disciples went out into the villages to proclaim the gospel, even equipped with Jesus' power and authority, even bringing miraculous healing, not everyone responded. Verse 5, Jesus says, "If people don't welcome you, shake the dust off your feet when you leave their town as a testimony against them." Jesus wasn't expecting everyone to respond. Shake off the dust is a sort of an expression, remove the contamination, wash your boots. Because the people who don't receive Jesus are effectively unclean. Like Gentiles, wash off the contamination. Because rejecting Jesus puts them outside God's people. And there will always be some, and sometimes even the majority, who reject Jesus. But whatever the response, our ministry is to be one of ministry of service to those around us. And that brings us to the ministry of challenge. As we go on through chapters 9 through to 13, and they're passages that we've been studying in our morning services in Duffield, we've been seeing that despite the promise of the kingdom, despite Jesus' ministry of service, despite his healing, despite his teaching, despite all the evidence, healing the sick, raising the dead, freeing people from all the forces that oppose them, despite the creation miracles, calming the storm, feeding thousands of people with very little, despite all the evidence, the challenge of following Jesus is too great for many people. People will reject him. So we have the sign of rejection, shaking the dust off their feet. Then there is Jesus' warning, chapter 10 and verse 12. I tell you, and he's talking about the villages who reject him and who reject the 72 that he sends out at the beginning of chapter 10. I tell you, it will be more bearable on that day for Sodom than for the town that has rejected his message. Rejection of the gospel is serious. It may be that this was the second rejection by these towns. They'd heard the 12, they'd rejected the message. They'd heard some of the 72, and they'd rejected the message. When we reject Jesus, it is serious. Moving on into chapter 12, verse 8 and 9. I tell you, whoever acknowledges me before men, the Son of Man will also acknowledge him before the angels of God. But he who disowns me before men will be disowned before the angels of God. Rejecting Jesus means that he rejects us. And then another page or two further on, beginning of chapter 13, verse 3, I tell you, unless you repent, you will perish. Rejection of the gospel leads to rejection by Jesus and to final death. So how we respond to the challenge of the gospel is the most important thing in our life. And our ministry is not just one of service, but it's one of challenge. We have to bring that challenge to those around us. The challenge, who is Jesus? Is he the Son of God? Is he the one around whom history pivots? Is he the one who died on the cross, rose from death, to bring us new life, new hope? Is he the one whose kingdom has now come into the world and who rules over everything? Our ministry is one of challenge. And as we read in this chapter 9, even Herod was challenged. Verse 7, Herod heard about all that was going on, and he was perplexed because some were said that John had been raised from the dead, others that Elijah had appeared, and others that one of the prophets of long ago had come back to life. Herod said, well, I beheaded John. He's dead. Can't be him. But who is it? Who is this person who's doing all these amazing things that I'm hearing about? And he tried to see him. People couldn't make their mind up about who Jesus was. And Herod certainly couldn't. Was he a prophet? Was he something else? Certainly he's acting like a prophet. But the challenge is, isn't it, that he is so much more than a prophet. Not just a good teacher, not just someone who shows us the right way to live, but the one who brings God's plan of salvation for the world to fruition. And the challenge is to accept him or reject him. Herod treats him as an object of curiosity. Who is this man? I don't know. And he sought to see him, it says in verse 9. Maybe he wanted just to see him like you go and see a circus performer. I don't know. And I don't know why Herod didn't get to see him. He was a tetrarch. He was a ruler. Jesus didn't hide in the corners. Everybody knew where he was. Herod could have had Jesus brought to him. It does suggest, doesn't it, that he wasn't really serious about seeing Jesus. He wasn't prepared to engage with Jesus' message. In the end, he rejects the challenge of the gospel, as will many who hear the message. But our ministry must be one of service, one of challenge, and then a ministry of compassion, verses 10 to 17. Verse 10, when the apostles returned, they reported to Jesus what they had done. So he took them with him, and they withdrew by themselves to a town called Bethsaida. They come back from this mission. They've been out in the villages, dependent upon the hospitality of others, preaching, teaching, healing. No doubt when they came back, they were exhausted. And Jesus wanted to have a debrief. They wanted to tell Jesus all that they'd done, all the exciting things that had happened, and all the times when people hadn't heard their message as well. So he takes them off to somewhere quiet. But unfortunately, they're spotted, and everyone in the neighbourhood goes off after them. There's no escape. They can't get away. The crowds learned about where they were, and they followed him. He welcomed them and spoke to them about the kingdom of God and healed all who needed healing. Mark, in chapter 6, describes it as saying, he saw the crowds and he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. It's a description of Israel from the prophets, particularly from Ezekiel. When Israel is described as sheep without a shepherd, people without spiritual leadership. They were looking for spiritual guidance. So Jesus teaches them. He sees their spiritual hunger. He sees their need for God. He sees their desire to hear God's word and to hear the good news of the kingdom, to hear of God's love and grace breaking into the world. That need was pretty obvious, wasn't it? They were chasing him round the countryside, desperate to hear him. Luke chapter 12, verse 1, it said so many thousands had gathered that they were trampling on one another to get to him. They were desperate to hear his message because they recognised the truth and the authority in what he was preaching, unlike their own religious leaders. And we've got the same hunger for spiritual reality today. It's just that people look in the wrong place. And if we, God's people, aren't proclaiming the good news, how are people going to hear? We have to have a ministry of compassion to preach the good news to those who are spiritually hungry, the spiritually lost, the spiritually empty, to share the good news of Jesus' love and grace with them. But his compassion extends beyond their spiritual needs. He heals all those who need healing. This ministry of service continues. He models it for his disciples. And then we see the compassion extended, don't we? The 12 come to him. It's late in the afternoon. Send the crowd away. They can go so they can go to the surrounding villages and find food and lodging. Because there's nothing here. We're in a remote place. We deliberately chose it because it was remote and we thought the crowds wouldn't come. But they came. We're out here. It's getting late. They're all getting hungry. Send them away so they can go and find some food and lodging. Maybe they were worn out. They were tired. They'd had this extensive time away. They wanted time with Jesus. They didn't want to be bothered by the needs of the crowd. And I guess we all get times like that, don't we? We have enough with our busy lives. We want to switch off. We want to put our feet up. We want to have a cup of coffee with Bake Off or Strictly or whatever suits us. We want to turn off. Unfortunately, with Jesus, we're always on duty. He calls us to share his ministry, even when we're tired and ready to stop. And he says to his disciples, "You give them something to eat." And they answered, "What? You've got to be kidding. Well, we've got 5 loaves of bread and a couple of fish. Unless we go and buy food for this lot. In Mark's Gospel, he records the disciples saying, it would cost 8 months' wages to buy one meal for this lot. 8 months' wages. What a waste of money. Just one meal for all this lot. All we've got are 5 loaves of bread and a couple of fish. And then Jesus intervenes. His compassion extends to the crowds. His compassion is far more than we can imagine. It's far more than the disciples can imagine. His creative power, fueled by his compassion and love, means that 5 loaves and 2 fish are more than enough for this huge crowd of people. They all ate and were satisfied, and the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. More and more and more than enough. In our ministry of compassion, God takes what little we have and makes it enough. The little love, the little understanding, the little empathy that we have, he takes it and makes it more than enough. If we don't think we have the right words to say, if we don't think we have the right approach, if we offer it to him, he will use our poor attempts. He will use us to tell people of the kingdom. He will use us to comfort, encourage, and support them. However ill-equipped or unprepared we think we are, we think, I don't know what to say. I don't know how to help. My little just won't be enough. But God says, I will take what you bring. I will bless it. And it will be enough. The disciples found that feeling inadequate is not an excuse for ducking out of our call to a ministry of compassion. If we don't think we have enough, bring it to Jesus, and he will make it more than enough. Because he shows us how to minister to others in his service, in challenge and in compassion. Our call is to proclaim the gospel, to preach the good news of the kingdom, to tell people that Jesus died for them, that he rose to bring new life, that he has set us free from sin and death, and that his resurrection has inaugurated his kingdom of love, mercy, and compassion. Our ministry is to live in his kingdom, in service, in challenge, and in compassion. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, so often we find ourselves at a loss because we feel inadequate. We don't have the words to say. We don't know how to reach out to people around us who are hurting, who are needy, who are spiritually hungry. Give us that assurance that as we reach out in your love and in the power of your Spirit, You will equip us. You will take what little we have and make it more than enough, so that we may share your love with others in service. We may proclaim your word faithfully in challenge, and that we might meet the needs of those around us in compassion. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.